Hi, welcome back to Our View. We've got a great show for you today. We've got Stuart Crawford here from Three Dogs in an RV, and he's going to tell us all about his visit at Hilton Head Island Motor Coach Resort.
Welcome to Our View with your hosts, George and Lisa Hernandez. Each week, listen in as George and Lisa talk about their RV and travel adventures all around the world. George and Lisa travel in their 40-foot Class A Tiffin motor coach and tow their Jeep Wrangler, always looking for fun and adventure.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Our View. I'm Lisa Richard Hernandez.
And I'm George Hernandez.
And we have a special guest with us today. We've got Stuart Crawford from Three Dogs in an RV. Welcome, Stuart.
Hey, good afternoon. Good day, everyone. Nice to be here.
It was so exciting when you reached out to us when we were in Hilton Head Island Motor Coach Resort together. I've watched some of your YouTube videos. I think it was the dog parade over the 4th of July. And then you saw the podcast and we said, hey, we need to get together. So really excited to sit down and chat with you. And
that's where we met.
That's right.
That was right. Yep. We were trying to figure out before where we met, and yes. You just said the dog 4th of July parade.
4th of July dog parade at Hilton Island Motor Coach Resort.
All right. Light bulb just came on.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
So we always love to talk to people, Stuart, that have become full-time RVers, because someday when I retire, hopefully our goal would be to be full-time RVers and travel around and do our podcast. So to me, you're living the dream right now. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you got there and how that all came about?
Well, I think it all happened by accident. And my wife, Missy, who unfortunately couldn't be here today with us, she said to me, I want to go buy an RV. Let's go look at RVs this weekend. So we ended up going to Tampa, went to Lazy Days. Like everybody else goes to a big box store, the first RV they buy, you know, La Mesa, Lazy Days, wherever they get it from. So we ended up going to Lazy Days in Tampa, and we did the typical rookie mistake. We bought the first one we saw because the sales guy said, hey, there's five other people queued up for this. So we dropped our American Express card and bought it. We bought a 2019 Fleetwood Flair.
Okay.
Now, I speak about this being like a long time ago. It was only like 16 months ago. It wasn't that long ago.
This is a great story.
So we bought this Flair. It meant to be a weekend coach, just to go away on the weekends and travel around. And we still had our normal sticks and bricks house in Sebring, Florida at the time. And we go out on the weekends. And I have a friend of mine who's a realtor. Now, he brought in a deal. I said, Tim, if you ever want to sell my house, feel free to show it. We had a very unique floor plan. It was the only one in the neighborhood with the style that we had. And I said, Tim, if you ever want to show our house, feel free. You got the key. Go in, show it. So we went to the Thousand Trails in Wachula for a weekend getaway. We come back, Tim standing in my driveway. This is Easter Sunday.
Oh my God.
With a contract in his hands. I sold your house.
Oh my
God. Says, oh, okay. He sold my house. So we went and looked at the deal, and unfortunately that deal fell through. Well, maybe not unfortunately. It was fortunate it fell through because it was a little shady. Tim was a good guy, but some of his real estate practices were a little shady. And off the air, we could talk about what he did. But anyway, so the deal fell through. We relisted it with a professional realtor. And she sold it for more than we were asking, so we sold it right away. And so we ended up moving into our RV full-time because that was the only place we had to go.
Right.
We didn't have a home to go to. And so we took advantage of the hot Florida market and sold our house and moved into our RV. And then we quickly realized that the Flair wasn't suitable enough for full-time living.
Yeah.
What was the size of the Flair?
It was a 36-foot gas coach. You know,
yeah,
your typical 36-foot gas coach.
For living, that's a little short.
Yeah, it was good for weekends and getaways, but for living full time, it wasn't suitable. So we ended up upgrading to a 2021 Fleetwood Bounder, same length,
yeah.
36 feet, but newer with more
features.
And,
yeah, that was our first one,
and I loved that coach. I
did too.
We went all the way up 3 hours north of Toronto last summer with it, and scooted around Buffalo and the areas up there, and we loved it. But my lovely wife had an idea. Said, "Hey, let's go get a diesel. Let's go look at diesel coaches."
Yeah.
On the weekend.
Yes.
So we said, "I really want to get a Tiffin." So I said, "Let's go look." So went to one of the biggest retail shops in the Buffalo area, and the sales guy was really, really good. Even though we had, our ideas on Tiffins, and they had a 2016 and a 2019, and they had a 2021 45 OPP, which is a coach I love. I love it. Unfortunately, he talked us into getting a Thor Venetian.
Okay.
Which, in retrospect, I shouldn't allow him to talk me into it. But we are looking at that, and you know, a little bit more backstory. My wife and I are Canadian, and we live in the U.S. full time. So we looked at a Dutch Star as well around that time, but yeah, it was just a little bit outside our price range that we couldn't, and we couldn't qualify for financing because we're Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And even though we have a company here in the U.S. and we've lived in homes here in the U.S., for some reason, banks still don't like that, you know, temporary resident status that we carry with us. Right. So I ended up buying this Thor Venetian because it was right in our price range, and that was, we call it the COVID coach. Because anything and everything that can fall apart on it,
oh no,
fell apart on
it. Oh no.
The aqua hots didn't work, the heat pumps didn't work. It was, the only thing that worked on it was the engine. And that was about it.
Yeah.
So we had nothing but problems with it. So we ended up, it was Christmas. You guys don't have Boxing Day here in the U.S., so we call it Boxing Day because I'm still Canadian, right?
Right.
So on the day after Christmas, we're watching Andrew Steele's YouTube channel, and this 2017 Integra Cornerstone comes up at the Motor Coach Store in Bradenton, Florida. And so I called up, or Missy called up the owner there and said, hey, we're, and this is on, again, keep in mind, this is the day after, no, this is Christmas Day evening. We called up the guy, or we sent him an email and said, hey, we're interested in the Cornerstone. He got back to us like 5 minutes later. and I wired him the money 2 days after that. So this, wow, if you're keeping count, this is coach number four.
Wow.
In under 1 year.
Wow.
So we ended up buying the 2017 Cornerstone, and we still have it today. So we're on a record. This is the longest coach we ever owned. and Brad at the Motor Coach Store ended up trying to sell us a Newell. Or no, he talked me out of the Newell because I wanted the Newell. Oh, and he, wow, talked me out of it because he said it's a 2009. There's all kinds of technical things you need to know. I went, I'm a technical guy, but yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm ready to back away a little bit from the technical stuff. Right?
Yeah. The more, you know, the more things with technical in it, the more things that can go wrong. So
yeah, that's true too.
So we're quite happy with our corner. So that's our RV story of our four RVs and wow, in under a year.
So we had the Fleetwood Bounder. We love, that was our first one, with the Ford V10 or whatever it is.
Yeah. We had the V8, which was probably the newer engine.
Yeah,
they came up with, yeah.
And we loved the coach itself. I hated the engine. Yeah. It just didn't have enough power to do anything. And if we hit a hill, forget it.
Well, we were coming through Georgia going up north. The check engine light came on. So I pulled into Crossville, Tennessee, and I was calling four places, trying to get it in to get it looked at. Nobody would touch it. And that was my early indication. Said, you know, maybe this is not the right chassis to be on.
Yeah.
None of these Ford guys want to touch this.
Yeah, it's... Our engine was good. It was just, we outgrew it, like you.
Yeah, it was just gas, not diesel. So yeah. I think I always tell people that don't know very much about like different motor coaches and stuff. I said, we kind of went from like a Ford Focus with all the bells and whistles to now the Tiffin Phaeton, I would say, is around like a 5 Series BMW. Yeah. You know, like that's kind of what our upgrade was. And you've kind of been through that whole process too. I think you're more of like, you're probably more than a 5 Series. I think you're probably closer to this, not quite the 7 Series BMW, but you're,
yeah, that's,
you're like we a step went to up the, from ours now.
So to the Tampa RV show, I said to Lisa, if any RV is going to get me in trouble, it's the Cornerstone. I really love that model. Fortunately, when we were at the show, I really didn't like any of the interiors that they had there. So I was like, okay.
And we felt the same way. We looked to the 2022 Cornerstone they had there, and Missy said, it looks really cheaply made compared to the one that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked like Grandma's house. The trimmings on the ones there were just, I mean, they had the headboard on the bed was just like this ginormous thing. I was like, what the hell is going on here? And I love that coach. I just, yeah, the trims just threw me off real, yeah, bad.
Well, yeah, knowing what I know now, if somebody came to me and said, hey, what kind of advice would you give me as a first-time RV buyer? I would say, don't go to a big box store. And secondly, get a used one and see if you like it.
Yes,
first.
100%.
Absolutely. You know, yep. We've said that many times also.
And you, because most of the bugs, knock on wood, you know, I still have issues like we all do, but they're relatively minor.
Yeah.
And the major, besides the deaf head problems that we all, that
we just had.
We just did that.
Yeah, Integras are, especially are known for with their Spartan chassis. I got the Keith deaf head failure special. I don't know if you know Keith here in the park.
No.
On the resort. He makes a simulator. I did a video on our YouTube channel about it that you plug into the deaf system and it simulates the deaf, you know, the deaf head. So at least you can get in
get
for,
to where you
get
need
in
to
for
go.
Service. But that's the only thing about diesel coaches that concern me is the deaf problems. But that's just,
yeah,
everybody has those.
Everybody has them, and that's a big issue they need to figure out because that's not good.
No.
We just had to repair ours. That's why Brian was here earlier.
Yeah. Well, we did a podcast about, like, you know, buying your coaches, and everyone says buy your third coach first is the best.
Well, we bought our fourth one.
Right.
Our first coach on the fourth one.
Right.
But I agree with you. Start with a used one. Figure out if you like this lifestyle. Figure out if you like that RV, and then start shopping for your dream RV. And we stumbled onto this one. That's a long story. It's another podcast. You guys can go back and listen to it. But we weren't even shopping for one, and our friend who sells RVs was like, we need $1,000 deposit. And I said, are you in jail again?
Yeah, it was great how we ended up with it.
Kind of to put a bow on our story, though, it's even funnier is that we loved working with the motor coach store in Bradenton so much that I went to work for him.
Oh, wow.
So he's my only non-IT related customer that I have. So I do all of his marketing for the motor coach store because I just believe so heavily in the service that they provide and the quality of the products they sell.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a great plug.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I took him on as a marketing client for, you know, for my business that I'm still doing today from our RV, which is another story.
And what's the name of that business in Bradenton?
It's called the Motor Coat Store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they Brad Twait is the owner there, and if you watch Andrew Steele's RV channel, Andrew features a lot of coaches on his channel from there.
Okay.
They just have a total stand up group there, and I mean, not to make this a plug for him, but you know, there's a lot of good retailers of small dealers. That's my recommendation. Try to hit up the smaller dealerships versus the big box stores.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I
would agree 100%.
Yeah. So you're still working.
I am.
And is your wife still work or is she?
So that's a very contentious subject. Because we set a retirement income goal, which we achieved this month. And she said, okay, as soon as we hit that, I'm done. So we're slowly trying to figure out how to get her out of the business.
Okay.
Not get her out.
She works with you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So not to get her out as an owner or a partner, but just get her out of the day-to-day management of it. So we're working on that. And, you know, I'm in my early 50s, mid to early 50s, I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
And I was telling you before we went on the air here is that my gas tank seems to run out faster than it did when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So at the middle of the week, I am pretty much exhausted and and I don't work at night anymore like I used to work. I used to work 18-hour days. Now I'm exhausted after 8.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, at this stage, and I'll blame the full-time RV living for this too, I've had a number of friends that have had some health issues, and some didn't make it through their health issues, and they're no longer with us. And that kind of opened up my eyes, too, and said, life is too short for, you know, working all the time. And I don't know what your all industries have been like in the past, but one thing about the IT industry is that I have realized is people that were your friends 20 years ago are not in contact with you today.
Yeah.
And the ones that you should have paid attention to 20 years ago are still here with you today. Right.
Right.
So my advice to any young entrepreneur who is, you know, pay attention to your family and your friends. They're more important than these vendors that you take care of.
Right. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Family will always be there.
Yeah. So I still sell real estate. So, you know, we're one of the preferred brokers in the resort down here in Hilton Head. And then I have a brokerage in Charleston too. And George is retired. So balancing that out, I completely understand. So I, unfortunately, I still have to physically be here for a lot of things. But thankfully, I guess there's some silver linings with COVID. Like for me, people are just more accustomed now to doing so many things online where we don't really have to be so much in person as we needed to before. We can send our contracts via the email and do Zoom calls and stuff like that.
Or DocuSign
is an amazing thing. Yes.
And you do so well online. I mean, our kids always laugh that every time we go on vacation, she sells a house. They're like, we just need to go on vacation all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, and COVID was a blessing for us.
Yeah.
Because we had a physical office in Sebring. You know, I was paying $2,500 a month rent for that space. And when COVID hit, we sent everybody home. And we didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
So I said, well, why am I paying a lease? So I called my landlords that can get out of my lease. I'll pay the rest of the lease, but I'm not going to stiff you for that. I just want out.
Right.
So he let us out, and we shut down the office, and we moved to Tampa. We moved the office to Tampa. Now we're just in a Regis office there. We have no need for a full-time office.
Right.
But everybody works from home.
Yeah.
And we're more functional now than we ever were.
Yes.
And it's unbelievable. And I get to work from my RV, which is great.
Yeah, that's great.
I think people are more productive also. You're more comfortable at home. You don't have the water cooler distractions and the people that want to talk to you about all kinds of silly stuff. You just get your job done and move on.
Yeah.
And then the quicker you do it, if you can, the more time you get to enjoy.
Yeah.
But we're in the same boat as you. We don't bounce back like we used to when we were 21. We've actually reached the stage of our life now where a nap is included in our daily activity.
So we'll go do this, then we'll take a nap.
Yeah, that's a Saturday and Sunday ritual for us, too.
Yeah, most everyone around here knows we're the exact opposite of early birds. Like, this whole retirement lifestyle, like, everyone likes to get up really early, and they do their things, and they like to start having cocktails, like, around 1, and then everyone's in bed by 10 o'clock. Like, it's a ghost town, you know?
But I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah. I like to eat early birds.
Yeah, that's another thing. I can't eat late. If I eat late, I'm just feel like crap.
I'm really looking forward to the 55 discount. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
When I go over dinner, hey, you're 55, you get a discount.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. I remember my first AARP letter. I was like, I ain't signing up for this crap. Now I'm like, okay, time to sign up for it.
Oh, gosh. So you started your YouTube channel. Was it just a hobby, or how did that get going?
That's an interesting story. So we wanted to do it from day one, and we had a few false starts getting it going. And we were up in north of Toronto, near North Bay, Ontario, and there was this goose walking around our campsite. And we called her Gertrude. That was the name of the goose we nicknamed. And I just whipped out my iPhone and started taking pictures of Gertrude. And you look back at the early videos, you'll see the video of Gertrude on there. And she was very people friendly and come up right up, and she would never bother the dogs. And so we made this video of Gertrude the goose, and that was our
initial.
That was our initial video. That our second video we did. We had another one of driving around Ottawa that we never really released. But Gertrude was our initial, and I said, I can get used to this.
Yeah.
And I had a guy doing the editing for me, so just me shooting the raw video and sending it over to him, and he would edit it for me. But, yeah, we got into the hand, and I found that people wanted to watch this. I'm going, interesting that people want to watch our journeys, right?
Yes.
And really, the whole premise of it is so that Missy and I can look back, you know, in years down the road and say, hey, remember when we went here and went here? It's not, we don't do it necessarily for the monetization.
Right.
Or the followers or the likes and views. We just do it for a record of our journey.
Yeah.
That's really, and it wasn't until I had that clarification that made it worthwhile doing, because I wanted to, I want to monetize this. I want to retire and just live off YouTube.
Right, yeah.
No, that never, very, very rare does that happen where people make enough money to retire and live off YouTube.
Right.
It doesn't happen as frequently as you think.
Yeah, but then at least they really don't retire either. Yeah. Then it becomes a serious job. I mean, there's people out there that started with, let's make a little bit of money, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we got a production and we got to produce.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And it's crazy, but they do make some money, though.
Yeah. You all, it's all about
there's a few channels that we watch that one of them we met at the Tampa show, and we were talking to him. He said, yeah, this is a full-time job. This is 8 hours a day, me editing video and producing. I went, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. I want to play golf and smoke cigars and drink beer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened to me. We started with the intention of doing YouTube, and then I realized, holy mackerel, this editing is just horrendous. And our friend Chris used to be a news reporter, and he said for every 40 minutes of video, they get a minute and 20 seconds of a clip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For the news. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Plus, then you got to do your hair and makeup.
I've done news spots when they came in and shot an hour worth of video, and I look back at 6 o'clock news, and there's like 30 seconds of me talking about Windows XP.
Yeah, yes. And that's exactly how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. So three dogs in an RV. Tell us about the three dogs part.
So we've it's funny because when we leave here on Sunday to go up to Myrtle Beach, that's where we're heading to next. That's Spooky, our youngest Chihuahua. That's his hometown. We bought him in Little River, South Carolina. So we're heading there to, fluke, that's where we got him from. That's where we're going to be for the next 2 months after we leave here. Is there. And so we bought him when we used to snowbird down to Myrtle Beach.
Uh-huh.
And so we picked him up. We had the two other dogs. So Archie is our terrier. He's my baby. He's like right by my side everywhere I go. And then Sammy, who's the oldest Chihuahua, he's Missy's baby. And then we just named Spooky as the dog's dog.
Okay.
Because he really doesn't have any human tie, but he's tied to the other dogs.
Like, right. So
everywhere the other dogs go, he's there.
So they're pretty small dogs. Three small dogs.
Yeah, three. Yeah, Sammy's like 3 pounds. Spooky's 4. And Archie's probably the heavy. He's 15 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's not too bad. Yeah. We've seen people here like, giant dogs.
Three golden retrievers, and it's like, wow. Yeah, I can only imagine.
That takes up a lot of room.
Well, it's funny to believe that three, our three little dogs take up a lot of space in that king-size bed at night.
Yes.
when they spread right out, they take up a lot of space.
Did you say you were going up to Little River?
I am, yes. We're leaving here
on
Sunday.
Are you going to the new resort up there?
North Myrtle Beach RV Resort Marina.
Is that the new one?
There's
supposed to be a really, really
nice... With the marina
nice.
There.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, this one's right on the intercoastal.
Yeah that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's like from 2018 is when they opened.
Yeah.
They got a flow rider and a water slide. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Everybody says that's really nice.
And when we booked it, I said, I want to be far, far away from all that stuff because I don't have kids.
Right.
All my kids are grown up. I got kids of their own.
Yeah.
I want to be far, far away from that stuff.
What do you mean? You don't want to hear Marco, Paolo all day?
Exactly.
So tell us, where are some of the places that you've already traveled to? And like, I noticed you said you were going to be there for 2 months, here for 2 months. What are sort of your travel plans?
So last year we did a lot of travel because the fuel prices were more reasonable. So we would move every 3 to 4 weeks. And we started in Florida after we got the bounder and stayed the 30 days so we can go back in and do the post-sale service. And then we made our way up north. So we made our way up north the long way. We ended up going through Tennessee, Kentucky, and we stayed in Indiana for a couple weeks and then went over to Canton, Ohio for 3 and visited the Football Hall of Fame and all that stuff. And then we spent most of last summer in Niagara Falls, New York.
Oh, okay.
And then when the Canadian border opened up, now being Canadian, we could have went home at any time. They couldn't stop us.
Okay.
But we wanted to wait till the border officially opened and so we would have less problems. So we went across in middle of August last year, visited some family, spent a month and a half up in Ontario, north of Toronto and near the Ottawa area, and then came back for the start of football season in Buffalo because my wife and I are diehard Bills fans.
Okay.
So we had season tickets up until this year. We didn't renew this year, but we went to the first few home games last year and then made our way back down south with, of course, being avid football fans, we followed the Bills road schedule.
Oh,
so cool. We stopped in Nashville, Jacksonville, and then ended up in Ho-Hum for Christmas. If you've ever been to Ho-Hum up on the Panhandle, it's amazing.
Really?
It's not a luxury RV. It's not like where we're at right now. It's far from where we're at right now. But it's a gravel pit.
Okay.
But you pull up right to the Gulf of Mexico, and your coach is overlooking the Gulf.
Oh, yeah.
So it's beautiful.
We've wanted to do that. Every time I look at places like that, they're always booked. You got to. Yeah. Did you plan that way ahead?
Not really. 3 or 4 months maybe ahead
okay.
of time.
Okay.
So we spent December of last year there, and then made our way down. We bought the Cornerstone. Spent a month in the. Our home base is in Bushnell. We're part of Escapees.
Okay.
So we went to Bushnell to do our driver's licenses and all that stuff, and then we spent the majority of last winter in Arcadia, Florida. Four months there.
Okay. And where's Arcadia?
So it's kind of halfway between Sebring and Fort Myers in the southwest corner of Florida. It's
okay.
35 miles outside of Fort Myers.
Okay. Okay.
But we had doctor's appointments and dentists and vets and stuff to do. So we did all that.
Okay.
And then came up here.
Okay. So Hilton Head has been your...
We wanted to go out west this summer, but with the price of diesel being the way it is, I just said, you know what?
I'm glad we did it when we did. We did it just prior to COVID.
In 2020. No, it was during COVID.
Oh, during COVID. That's right.
Yeah, because everything was canceled. I was like, let's set
the road. We said if we're going to quarantine, let's quarantine in the mobile condo.
Yeah.
And just head out west.
Yeah, we went all the way up to Seattle, across. We went to Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone and Seattle and all the way down the Oregon coast.
Yeah, see, we wanted to go to Vancouver. We wanted to go to Vancouver and Calgary.
Yes.
Because we have grandchildren in Calgary and Vancouver that we haven't met yet.
Oh, wow.
My God.
So we're thinking about going out there, but just the price of fuel, our fuel budget for this year, talk about travel, is the same as it was last year, but we're staying 2 months instead of 1 month.
Right.
In places now. So budget-wise, we're about the same, but yeah, length of stay now. And in all fairness, 2 months here in Hilton Head has been great.
Yeah, yeah.
2 months is long enough. At 2 months, you're ready to say, okay, I'm ready to go do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We've always talked about, so we own here at Hilton Head. We want to buy somewhere. There's a new place in Nashville that we want to buy. And then two other places. So we could do 3 months at each and just kind of rotate around. Because I agree with you. 2 months here. It's a beautiful place. We love it. But after 2 months, you've seen and done everything. And it's time to go somewhere else and explore. That's what this lifestyle is about.
There's only so many dolphin tours and stuff you can do until you say, okay, I've done that. It's been there, done that.
Yeah. So how do you think Hilton Head Island Motor Coach Report, how does this resort compare to some of the other places that you guys have been?
I love it here. Like it's when they say paradise, it is truly paradise.
Yeah.
Like it's an older resort. Don't get me wrong. It's got some very mature trees and it's an older, it's been around for a while, but that's not a knock towards it. It's just, it's part of the charm of it.
Yeah.
It's great. I would, if I was a little bit older, I would seriously think about buying here. I'm just at that stage right now where I'm not ready to settle down.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that. We thought about it long and hard. We thought about it, but I just went, no, I think I just want to travel a bit more. I want to experience, and I don't want to have that commitment to having to come back to a single place. Now, in 2025 and beyond, when our immigration status has changed, we may think about buying something up north and then, in Canada for the summer.
Yep.
And then something down here for the winter. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of balls in the air right now that, that whole 2025 is going to be a very critical year for us because that's when our immigration status changes.
Oh, okay.
And so, I either have to decide, am I going to renew to live in the U.S. or am I going to go back to Canada and become a full-time resident back in Canada and come down like all the other Canadians come down in the winter?
Yeah.
But hopefully by that time I'll be retired and that decision will be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt so sorry for the Canadians. We have some friends that are Canadian and we actually met them in Florida, during the winter, and they're like, we can't leave. And we were sending them pictures, from Florida and the sunshine. And they're like, the Canadians can only go so far south.
But they're way up there too. So it's always cold.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was lucky. I grew up in Niagara Falls. So I grew up a mile away from the border.
Right.
So going across to Buffalo or Niagara Falls, that was like an everyday thing. You never thought anything more. Now, of course, when 9/11 happened, the whole process changed.
Right.
We used to go across and, my dad had my aunt lived in Niagara Falls, New York. We lived in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And it was, and I used to ride my bike across the border, and the customs guys would say, "You going to go visit your aunt?" Says, "Yeah." "Does your father know where you are?" "Yes." and they send us on the way. Now today, as kids, kids today, we couldn't do. If I was a kid today, we couldn't do that.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Michigan, and so we used to go to Ontario, Toronto, you know, all the time. We used to play like soccer against them and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, crossover in Detroit. As a matter of fact, we went to the casino up there. When the kids won a rugby tournament in Ann Arbor, we went to Ohio, Canada.
Yeah, but the town was kind of shut down, remember? It was rough. COVID. Yeah, it was during COVID. There was so many shops closed. It was a little sad.
They had some pretty aggressive lockdowns in Ontario.
Yeah.
But we've always talked about doing a road trip through Canada. And that's definitely on our schedule. Just don't know when.
So here's some advice for those wanting to travel to Canada. And you can read all about the customs stuff online. This is what I've learned is many of the RV parks don't have 50-amp connections.
Really?
30-amp is... You find that at quite a few campgrounds and RV parks. Now, resorts might be a different thing. But that's what we struggled with last year. When we were up north of Toronto, we only had 30-amp. Thank goodness I had the Bounder that did okay on 30-amp.
Right.
If I had the Cornerstone, I would be stuck. I wouldn't know what to do because that thing takes a lot more power than a 30-amp service can provide.
Yeah, but I guess the 50-amp, the biggest thing for the 50-amps is the ACs. But being up north, it's not quite as hot as here, so I think...
Well, you might need heat, though.
Yeah, but you could run the heat.
Yeah, you can run that off. You can run that
off the ACs is what really sucks up the 50-amps. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we have that converter whenever we...
That's the biggest thing people got to be lookout for is just that
that's
one limitation.
Yeah, that's
interesting. That's not too bad.
Our hope is to go up, do East Coast up to Nova Scotia. So bad. Yeah.
That's one of the areas that we're looking at settling if we ever go back to live full time is in Nova Scotia. Cause I lived in Western Canada. I grew up in Ontario, but I never spent a lot of time out east other than my basic training when I was in the Army. I did it out Eastern Canada.
Oh, wow.
So I said, well, I love it out there. I just, maritime life is my thing. I love that whole lifestyle. So I think that's where we're eyeballing that to go to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
That's where our friends live, Nova Scotia.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the undertaker.
The actual undertaker?
Yeah. People are dying for his business.
I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, "I put the fun in funeral." I was like, oh my God, we need to get that for our friends.
My God, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, while you're in Hilton Head, you've been here for 2 months. Let's talk a little bit about the whole thing and play. What are some of all right, you're coming here to visit Hilton Head. Now you guys have been here as tourists for 2 months. What have been some of your favorite things that you've seen or done and on the island?
So I had a bucket list item that I needed to cross off when I got here. My cousin was a U.S. Marine Corps. So he spent 22 years in the Marine Corps.
Paris Island.
And I wanted to go to Paris Island. I wanted to tour the museum. So that was one of the first things we did. We took a trip to Paris Island and toured the museum. And that's all on our YouTube channel. You can see that. That was the biggest thing I wanted to get crossed off my bucket list. Because when I was 18, I actually tried to join the Marine Corps because I had family in the U.S. And for some reason, they didn't approve my application, so I ended up going in the Canadian Army instead. But that was one of my bucket list items. Other things that we did that we really enjoyed, we obviously went to Savannah a few times, but the one trip to Savannah that stands with the most is when we went on the Intercoastal Waterway.
Oh, okay, by boat?
So we left from Harbortown Marina and took the ferry to Savannah. And it was fun. It was a two-hour ride on the ferry. But the one thing that stands out, I haven't released a video on this yet because I haven't got around to editing yet, is the boat captain decided to outrace a freighter, a cargo ship coming in.
Oh, God. Oh.
And we got caught in the wake of that cargo ship.
Oh, wow.
And we were rocking and rolling more than a Metallica concert.
I'll wow. tell
you that. It was something else. That one stood out. We did the firework cruise. We did the dolphin tours, all that stuff. The biggest thing that stands out the most for me is the memories of taking my dog to the beach.
Oh yeah,
and just having that time on the beach and being so close that we could just drive there very easily.
Yeah,
That was probably the biggest thing that stood out for me was just that that time just being, you can go and spend money on all kinds of activities, and they're great, but that time on the beach was just, you know, that was special.
Yeah, we really enjoy, literally, we just bought e-bikes yesterday, so we're super excited with that, kind of like expanded our areas that we just love to just kind of just get out on the bikes and go exploring and ride around the island in this. It's so bike friendly, you know, and
miles and miles of bike
trails. Yeah, and there's seems like there's live music in so many places. We like to ride down to Caligny Beach and go to the Tiki Bar, and it's like the bar is right on the beach, and there's always live
what was
music.
The name of the one we went to yesterday that we
Jim's Pool Bar.
Yeah,
have you been there?
No, I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's at the
it's
Seacrest
a tiny little
Hotel.
Place, and if you don't know where it is, it's super hard.
We've been to Coco's on the beach.
Okay.
Now your bikes would have been perfect for that, because trying to find parking at Coco's is next to impossible.
Yeah, like 4th of July in the week, like we just stayed inside the resort here during 4th of July because it's just so busy.
That's why bike rental business here does so well. There's just so many people and so limited parking.
Yeah.
You're better off going anywhere by bike.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been caught in traffic an hour coming in from Bluffton.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Because Missy wanted to go to Sam's Club, and so an hour later coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
At least they finally got rid of the toll booth. That made it even worse.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's gotten much better.
Yeah. We have a bunch of different favorite restaurants that we've been to since we've been here, and you just mentioned one. I was like, oh, my God, we haven't even been there yet. But what are some of your, tell us about some of your favorite places that you've gone to eat. Like, we're foodies, so we go, like, to try new things all the time.
Yeah, and so are we. We love a good inexpensive meal.
Yeah.
So we went to Low Country Backyard, which is just on the main road when you come in, next to the smokehouse.
Right next door
to the smokehouse. That was so by far the best meal we've ever had on the island.
Really?
Yeah, that was sensational. I had their version of jambalaya, which was great. Yeah, it rivals anything that we would get in New Orleans. It was good. And other place, we went to Fat Babies a couple times.
Yeah,
One Hot Mama's barbecue. Because I'm a barbecue.
Oh man, isn't that good?
Yeah, I'm a barbecue fan.
Those ribs. I'm sorry. Nobody can compete on this island with One Hot Mama's.
I think One Hot Mama's ribs are probably the best ribs I've ever had.
And their wings are sensational,
too. Oh, yeah.
I'm a kind of a chicken wing snob, being from the Buffalo area.
Oh, yeah.
That nothing touches the wings we get back home. And these ones here, I told the bartender, I said, you know, they got some pretty high standards. And these are pretty close to being back home. And then she said, well, I'm from Rochester. I went, oh. Well, that thing, no, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're from the same area, right?
Next time we go up there, I'm going to have to get buffalo wings in Buffalo. Like, I want to get a Philly cheesesteak in Philly. Like, I don't know. I just feel like if you don't have it at that place, you don't have a bar that you have to
meet. It's like New York pizza for me.
Right. You
know? Yeah. So here's my recommendation for anybody going to Buffalo and wanting to have wings. The Anchor Bar is your tourist trap. Everybody's got to go there. Duff's is good, you know. But you really want to hit those hole-in-the-wall places.
Like anywhere. Yeah. The hole in the wall is where you want to be.
Where the locals
That's where
go.
You're going to... Yes.
Exactly. I find the better wings in Niagara Falls, New York, than you get in... And again, on our YouTube channel, we've reviewed a lot of these places.
Oh, great. We're going to have to check
that out. So, you know, there's some really good pizza and wing places in Niagara Falls, New York that we just love. Every time we go home, that's where we go.
Oh, that's cool.
Craving.
I guess that's like George and his New York pizza.
That's me. When I go to New York, I got my couple pizza shops that I have to hit. And when I go to Miami, it's my Cuban food.
Yeah.
Just fill up.
So New York pizza is interesting because I'm not a New York pizza fan at all. But so Buffalo New York pizza is different than New York City pizza.
Yes, absolutely.
And I like the thicker crust. And in Buffalo, they always do it in a rectangle pan. Instead of the circle pies.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
It's just, you know, not to knock New York pizza at all, but Buffalo pizza to me is far superior.
and that's the thing. Everybody, you know, when you grow up with it, that's your thing. Like me, I love the thin crust. Oh, man, just talking about it. I got to stop talking.
Talking about pizza.
We're going for pizza after this.
Yeah. So what about, all right, let's go through favorites. What's your favorite place in Hilton Head for a burger?
Where do we went somewhere the other day and had a really good burger. I can tell you what's not my favorite. Five Guys is not my favorite.
That's a chain.
Yeah.
Char
Bar is my favorite place for a burger.
I don't think I've been there.
We got to take you there then. That's definitely the best burger.
Is that the one by the Kroger?
It's over by Harris Teeter, in right near the entrance to Sea Pine Shopping Center.
Oh, okay, it's over that way.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm. On the other side of the circle.
Gotcha. Yep.
And there's
I think I've been there.
They have like
the outdoor. It's an outdoor place, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I've been there. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have the $25 award winning burger, like gourmet. So
okay, move on.
It's no Five Guys.
You're making me hungry.
What about favorite place for pizza on Hilton Head Island?
Fat Babies, hand down. That was my favorite.
Fat Babies.
Yeah, we.
Isn't that where they have the really good chop salad too?
I think so.
Or is that Doughboys?
Fat Babies and Doughboys, they're both pretty good. But see, I agree.
My wife is on keto, so we don't get the chance to go out for do a lot of these car places. So when I get to go, I get to go.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Doughboys has a really good chop salad. You can pick all your ingredients for it. So I lean towards that one because I try not to eat sugar, carbs, or dairy. But if I'm gonna, it's gonna be pizza. Yeah.
If you're gonna cheat.
All right. What about your favorite place for seafood?
Yeah, that's I have to say the place on the road coming in. What's it? The one just before you get to the
Hudson's?
Bridge. No, it's off. It's on the. Oh, I'm drawing a blank now. It's an outdoor patio, just on the road coming in before you get to the bridge. Crab something or other. Oh, I'm just drawing a blank now.
Oh, I've never been there before.
It's an outdoor patio. We went there by fluke because we wanted to go watch the planes flying down the coast on the 4th of July. And we couldn't get to the beach. So we ended up going there.
It's called the Crazy Crab.
That's what it's called. That was really good.
What did you have there?
I had, obviously we talked about this off the air. I'm suffering from the old age, can't remember stuff. So
this is more of a casual though, right? Fried seafood kind of.
Yeah, it was just regular,
fresh.
I think I usually have grouper. That's my default. So I must have had grouper that day.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing with Hilton Head. A lot of places to get fresh seafood, which is really nice. And I'm not a big seafood guy, but
some people say go try the Sea Shack, and I haven't been there yet.
Have we?
I feel like we.
I think we have.
I can't remember.
Unfortunately, a lot of times when we go out to eat, there's alcohol involved. So
can't remember what we ate.
They all kind of blend together.
No. We just went to what is it called? Ombra, the Italian restaurant.
Yes, that was really good.
And we just thought we would just. It's right behind the RV resort. We just thought we would just pop in for an appetizer and a drink. I ended up getting a whole tenderloin filet. It was so delicious.
I got the spaghetti with clam, and usually it's just clam sauce. It was a big piece of spaghetti in the middle, surrounded by clams.
And what was it? Where was this place called?
Ombra.
Okay.
O-M-B-R-A.
If I have one weakness in life, it's spaghetti. So that's. Oh. I think that's where I'm going for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
You and me both, man.
Yeah. I think you need to make a reservation there. It's more of a high-end.
Sit at the bar like we did.
Yeah. We also enjoyed Michelangelo's, which is also a really good Italian on the island, too.
I'll tell you, the best place I had Italian was Flora's.
Here?
Yeah, on the island. Yeah, we went there one night. We went there for dinner, and the staff there were great, and the owner took personal care of us, which was you don't see that everywhere you go.
It was
a small little Italian place. It wasn't your traditional Italian place where you get spaghetti. It was it was kind of more like upscale Italian. So there was more upscale dishes. But it was really, really good.
Yeah,
and that's how Ombra is.
It's upscale Italian.
The clams just caught my eye because that's kind of my go-to meal. I always love to see the different takes on it. This one was good. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's. I could probably talk about restaurants on Hilton Head in a whole nother podcast for, the whole entire thing.
I mean, there's so many really good restaurants here. That's a nice thing.
So when we first came to Hilton Head, we didn't have a tow vehicle. And so now that you've been driving around the island, you've probably figured out how hard it is to find anything. because it's a Twilight community, there's no bright signs. I didn't know there was a McDonald's across the street for like a year, you know. I was like, oh my God, look, that's a McDonald's.
We ended up going to McDonald's on the other side of the island because I didn't see the one here.
Right, yeah. Yes. It's literally camouflage, which is really nice because it keeps the integrity of the island. But when you're looking for something, it's so hard to find. So once we got our bikes and we got our tow vehicle, we kind of got a lot more chance to explore. We first thought, God, there aren't even any good restaurants on the island. And then
we opened up the whole world once we got more
ways to get around.
Well, we were so bad that one of the first times, and I'll tell you this quick story. One of the first times we came here, we ventured out and we walked out and we said, we'll walk around to a couple bars. So we went to a bar right outside and had a cocktail. Then we went to another bar and we walked around. We had so many cocktails. We got totally disoriented.
Now it's dark out.
Now it's dark.
There's no lights at dark.
And Lisa said, why don't we head back to the RV? I said, okay, let me call an Uber. So I call the Uber and I may have had a few cocktails where I just ordered it and sat there and the Uber driver pulls up and you know how they always say, hey, are you George? And I'm like, yeah. And the guy says to me, are you serious? And I said, "What? Yeah, I'm George. I'm serious." He goes, okay, get in. We got in. He put it in drive, drove about 100 yards, put it in park. And I said, we're here. We were literally at Mi Tierra, which is right across the street. But we had gone so turned around.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
So that was our embarrassing story of our first trip here.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your future travel plans for, and do you think you'll ever go back to Bricks and Sticks?
So I mentioned we're leaving here on the weekend, heading to Myrtle Beach for a couple months. And then Missy's mom and dad are coming down from Canada in November, and they're going to be in the Daytona area. So we're going to spend some time in Daytona. And then we'll be back in the Sebring area for the winter to do our normal doctor's visits and vet visits. Our long-term plans is to head out west next summer.
Okay.
I definitely want to see my grandkids.
Yeah.
I see all their pictures on Facebook. I said, I got to go see these in real life.
Yeah.
So that's our plan for next summer is to head out west and then spend the winter in Arizona or Yuma, Palm Springs area.
Okay.
And then come back to Florida. And from there, I just don't know. Again, I mentioned 2025 as being a very pivotal point for us. We may, talking about going back to Sticks and Bricks, we may just sell the RV in 2025 and then take the money and go travel the world and do Airbnbs.
Oh, okay.
That may be on our radar. We just don't know. Because although I'm Canadian and I can live here in the U.S., I'm also a British citizen as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're thinking about maybe go spend 3 months of the year in the U.K., 3 months or 4 months of the year in the U.K., 4 months in Canada, 4 months here, and kind of just do that loop.
Nice. Yeah.
So, or spend some time. There's so much of the world to see.
Yes.
I want to go and experience it. And Airbnbs and trains and stuff, you know, they're plentiful. You can get them. And
oh, my God, yeah.
And cost-wise, it's the same as having an RV.
Yes.
maybe even cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, so that's our long-term vision. I don't know if I want to go back to a Sticks and Bricks. I enjoy the freedom.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, that's the thing about, you know, I want to be flexible enough that if we need to, we can go back and live full-time somewhere or continue to live our nomadic life that we...
Yeah,
that
continue we as long as you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until my health tells me I can't. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Quick question. What do you tow behind your...
We don't tow at all. So
you don't tow at all?
This is funny. My wife hates the idea of towing.
Okay.
So she drives behind me.
Oh, okay. So what does she drive?
We have a Chevy Trailblazer. Okay. So talk about BMWs earlier. We had two of them that we traded in when we went full-time and bought an electric car. And we drove all the way up to Canada with their electric car. And it was working great. Came back down to the U.S. and we found that the mileage wasn't as good coming back down south as it was going up north. And we traded it in when we got back to St. Augustine and got our Trailblazer before gas got crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the lifestyle didn't allow us to have an electric car because some resorts kind of frowning upon you charging your electric vehicle into their pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we decided, okay, we're going to go back to the old, you know, gas-powered engine. And so she drives behind me. like I said, we only go maybe a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours on a move.
Right.
Like, even when we go to Myrtle Beach, we leave here on Sunday. We can't check into Myrtle Beach until Monday.
Yeah.
So we're just staying at a Harvest Host outside of Florence.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just overnight at a winery, which was...
Yeah, we love Harvest Host.
Yeah, yeah, we're staying at Harvest Host on Friday. We're excited about it. We're doing a trip up to Michigan. We're leaving on Friday. We'll be gone for 2 weeks, hitting Knoxville on the way back to do some jeeping. So we'll have some more podcasts coming up about that.
Yeah.
So, Stuart, it's been great talking to you today. Tell us, tell our listeners how they can find you and where what your website is and all of that kind of stuff.
So, threedogsinanrv.com and ANRV.com. That's probably the, that's our travel RV lifestyle website. That's the one that you can get my email address and contact information from there if you ever want to reach out. That's, and then you can get to our YouTube channel on there. You know, I will welcome all the new subscribers we can get.
Yes,
that's always great.
Yes.
You know, that's my true passion. Now, like I said, still work for a living and still got to pay bills. But my true passion is, you know, documenting our lifestyle and our journeys. And that's 3dogsinanrv.com.
Great.
Awesome.
Well, we will pass that along to our listeners, and we'll also put it in the show notes for you, those of you that are driving and can't write it down. And anything else?
No, let's go get a cigar and some food.
That sounds like you want a burger. Cocktail.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Stuart. Have a great day. Thanks, friends. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Our View. Don't forget to drop us a line at rviewpodcast.com. That's the letter R, viewpodcast.com. And like, subscribe, and follow us so you don't miss out on our next adventure.